there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour two. It is a Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. It is great to be here. It really is. Draft begins Thursday. Just like the young men who will play in the NFL, I'm trying to get my abs tight. I'm trying to get very prepared. This weekend, more than any weekend, I'll be in front of a TV the whole weekend. Now, this weekend I was for some basketball. Next weekend is one of the veg-out weekends. One of the non-football season veg-out weekends. Maybe the only one where I sit. So I have to get up early and work out because it's unhealthy to just sit and eat all day.
Oh, says who?
It's so satisfying.
The FDA.
All right. Good to have you back. We do it every day at this time, every Monday at this time. Colin Wright, where Colin was wrong, and here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Doesn't matter how well LeBron and AD play. They're not beating Denver. They've lost nine straight because Denver's starting five is too good and too deep and too consistent. The Nuggets beat the Lakers the same way every time they play. There'll be spurts. One, two, or three, and Denver jet fuels it for a 10-0 run. And in the end of the game, Jokic is just better. Plus, LeBron runs out of gas at this point in his career, and when he does, he gets sloppy. Jokic does not run out of gas. Denver's a better team, and when I suggested they may want to duck the Nuggets because of the repercussions if they get swept again, that was on display.
Where Colin was wrong.
It's not that the Suns lost. They were 3-0 against the T-Wolves in the regular season. They weren't even competitive. It looked like they were poorly constructed. I mean, Booker no-showed. What happened to Beal? The T-Wolves, top to bottom, more physical. Defensive lapses. KD gave you points, not much else. I said I'll take Phoenix in this series, but I mean, after watching that game, I don't know if the Suns are constructed. It also illustrates the difference between the regular season and the postseason, because that was a 2-hour and 30-minute mismatch.
Where Colin was right?
Dame time delivered. When the Bucks made that move, I said I love Drew Holiday, but it's the right move to make. Because he is a Steph Curry-level scorer from the perimeter, and Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday can't give you that. I just wish the Bucks would let Dame set the tempo more than they allow him to set the tempo. 35 points by a little guy and a half is remarkable. And this is what he created. I've said before, take out Steph Curry. You've got one shot to win a game in the NBA. I would choose Dame. I think he's that good. I think he's a first ballot guy. If Steph Curry did not exist, he would be the great small scorer, arguably, in the last 10 years.
where Colin was wrong.
Anthony Edwards, best player on the floor, took over things for the T-Wolves. I said Friday, I worry that he's going to become Dominique Wilkins. Dynamic, spectacular, but historically overshadowed with all the great players around him and no titles. But boy, he was something. Lot of energy. We know he's dynamic. We know he's hyper-athletic. But verbal, firing the crowd up, talking trash to KD, he looked pretty good. He may have been the best player playing basketball this weekend.
Where Colin was right.
Three excellent, steady ESPN reporters reported on Bill Belichick. What we said is that we didn't think he was going to get a head coaching job because his inability to work well with others. And we find out that that was Atlanta's primary concern, that Robert Kraft, although not burying him, did talk to Arthur Blank and say, we didn't really trust him. He was about Bill and doing what Bill wanted. He was not, we discover, a top three candidate for the Atlanta Falcons job. And again, no matter how great you are, you can rule with an iron fist when you're winning, but when you're losing, you look outdated and difficult, and fair or not, that's how Bill Belichick is perceived today by owners and general managers.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never loved the James Harden move to the Clippers, but he does lubricate that offense. And one of the reasons I was skeptical is this franchise needs to win in the playoffs, and he is really disappointing at times in the playoffs. But he had 20 points in the first half, and Dallas had no answer. He was the best player on the floor. He was 4-for-6 from three. And, I mean, that move to get James Harden felt like it paid off yesterday. He was magnificent.
Where Colin was right.
In my five bold NBA predictions last week, I had the Lakers in and the Warriors out in the play-in games. The Warriors are too Steph reliant. I think Pods and Kuminga are excellent young players, but they're not ready to help you in April and May, and the Warriors season ends after a brief play-in experiment.
Where Colin was wrong.
What's up with the Dodgers? Now, we knew their bullpen wasn't their strength, but they're 3-7 in their last 10. They've lost series to the Nats, the Padres, and the Mets. Home runs, no longer leading baseball. Runs scored, no longer leading baseball. It is a top-heavy lineup. Dave Roberts is a nice guy. Is he the guy to lead a star-filled roster? That's up for debate. But the Dodgers, for the last 2 weeks, have been a major disappointment.
Where Colin was right.
Caitlin Clark sold more Indiana Fever jerseys in one day than the Dallas Cowboys sold last year for the entire team. This is what I've said. It's no criticism of women's college basketball. It will come back down to earth. She is a Tiger Woods or an MJ. For whatever reasons, she galvanized the country. Every game after she played would lose 40 to 60% of the ratings. Women's college basketball is much better than it was years ago, and it's a quality sport that's getting better. But these numbers, these merchandise sales, I do believe she will finally make the WNBA a profitable league, which to this point, it hasn't been. Nothing against women's basketball, and it was nothing against golf. But when a Tiger Woods rolls in or a Caitlin Clark, they change everything.
Where Colin was right.
Said a year ago, Clippers need to move off Kawhi Leonard. He's a great player, but they didn't play him against Dallas, and it was one of the Clippers' great playoff performances ever. I don't think he's foundational. He's nonverbal. He's not a leader. You don't quite know what you're going to get him or when you're going to get him. Again, I'm not doubting he could add him as some icing to a really good cake. He can't be the cake. And he's out. Paul George, Westbrook, James Harden, Zubac look just fine, hammering a very good Dallas team. Where Colin's right, where Colin's wrong, plenty of both on a Monday. And with that, 12 years in the NFL, smart guy. I know he loves what he saw at the Longhorn Spring football game. Colt McCoy is joining us. I watched a little bit of that as well. Arch Manning lit it up. So let's start with this. You've been in this situation. Here comes the draft. If I could go to you and I could say, you sit down with Jaden Daniels or Drake May for an hour, Colt, and you could just say, here's two or three things, your world is going to change. What would be those things for these young quarterbacks who are often going to bad teams, bad O-lines? They don't get Alabama talent or Michigan talent. What would you tell these young quarterbacks, one or two things that you think could assist them?
First of all, I think both those guys are good. They're both extremely talented, athletic. You know, Jaden Daniels brings things to the table that not many guys do. And, you know, when you watch Drake, you see a lot of just big, strong, like country strong characteristics, can throw the ball a long ways. But you're right, they're going into situations that are unique to them, are different, they're young, right? And looking back, I would just say, just go in and be yourself. This game has changed a bunch since when I came in as a rookie.
Yeah.
Right? Their offenses are going to be built around them. Their coaches are going to be all for them. And they have elite traits that they're going to play for a long time. So, you know, I look at these top three quarterbacks, Caleb, Jaden, Drake, like they're going to be really good players in this league, no question.
The, you know, it's funny about the draft. In the NBA, the kids come in, they're young, so they're not impact players. And in baseball, you get drafted in the first round, you go to the minors. But you come out of a Texas, a Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, you've played with NFL guys, you're ready to play. Is that a disadvantage? Do you ever wish you like Mahomes didn't play his first year until week 17? Lamar got 11 games off. In a perfect world, do you believe you could actually learn more not playing for a year? And not taking those hits and crushing your self-esteem. Like, what do you make of most of these quarterbacks who are getting picked? Week one, they could play against Mahomes. How tough is that?
Yeah, it's tough. That's a great point. I mean, I look back on my career. I don't want to compare any of them to myself because I think they're all extremely talented. But I redshirted in college. Like, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me. I wasn't ready to play. I think a redshirt in the NFL is very similar. You look at Caleb, though, probably going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, it seems they have a pretty good team kind of built around him. It's almost plug and play, and he'll make some mistakes, right? But he'll get the experience he needs, and he'll play good. You know, a couple of these other teams, depending on where they go, you know, having
– All right, we lost Colt McCoy. Probably have to dial it back up. It's generally – As you know, if you draft somebody top 10, they have to play because you're a bad football team. I mean, New England's a prime example where the player that comes in is going to be more talented than the current quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. But do you want a rookie quarterback on his back, 14 interceptions, sacked 38 times, could get injured? Like, I don't. Now, Baltimore was different where you had a nice cast around you, and they were going to let Joe Flacco the string play out so it was a definitive move. Think about how good Mahomes is. Think about how great Mahomes is and how great Brady become. They don't play him the first year. They largely don't play him. And so Andy Reid knew watching practice Mahomes was better than Alex Smith. He knew it. There was video that leaked very early in the room. Everybody knew Mahomes was better than Alex Smith. But Andy Reid's like, no, I want him to get reps. I want him to see the speed. So let's bring Colt McCoy back in. So let's go back to that. We know there was video that leaked on Mahomes. We knew how great he was. There was crazy video at the Chiefs. And Andy Reid would not play him. And so my takeaway is the smart offensive guys, like, they get it. It's almost like when Jared Goff finally got Sean McVay. McVay's first thing was, we got to go get Cooper Kupp. We got to get Andrew Whitworth. This is just not going to work. You got to get this guy more support. So my takeaway on all this stuff is ideally, you do not want to play him. But I think in most instances, you have to play him. And almost as a rule, teams in the top five or six, as a rule, some have weapons, some have run games, some have decent coaches. Almost none have good offensive lines. Caleb Williams is going to a top four offensive line. It doesn't work that way because offensive lines are hard to build. There's very few great ones. That's why Kirk Cousins and Brady, by the way, when they could choose teams, what did Brady choose? The guard, center, guard in Tampa were great. They needed a right tackle, and the draft had tackles. And Kirk Cousins chose Atlanta. Great offensive line. That's why Jared Goff got a bit of a Benny when they got Penei Sewell. Detroit's got a great offensive line. Brock Purdy's got a great left tackle. So let's go try one more time with Colt McCoy. Let's go back to Mahomes, who was clearly, Colt, good enough to play. And Andy Reid didn't play him. What do you think he learned sitting?
I think he learned a ton.
Yeah, it's just not going to work. So I think that's kind of where we are with all these guys. So Caleb's going to have to play week one. Jaden Daniels, if he goes two, is going to have to play. I would not play Drake May or Jaden Daniels in New England until Thanksgiving. And then as you go down, Bo Nix has 61 college starts. They have a good O-line in Denver. He's good enough to play. Michael Penix in Seattle could sit behind Geno for a year if he goes there. He's probably good enough to play. But I think sitting Michael Penix may be the best example of this. Geno, Joe Flacco, good enough to win some games. You don't feel like there's much of a runway. And then in the end, you bring in Lamar, you bring in Penix, and by Thanksgiving, week 10, 11, then you insert him. So there you go. Where are you watching the draft, by the way?
We're going to get the schedule for the men's league season debut, so there's a chance I'm going to have to watch it on my phone at the very beginning. But obviously, I'll be watching the later round.
It's not the same.
Later part of the first round.
It's not the same.
Well, you know, what, skipping my men's league game to watch the first 10 picks of the draft?
Committed or not committed.
Oh, come on.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Springtime's the perfect time to give a fresh look to your security system at home. 20% off simplysafecolin.com if you sign up for the Fast Protect Monitoring Plan. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the late game last night in the NBA was the top-seeded OKC Thunder really struggling with the Zion-less Pelicans. Interesting game. Low scoring. Oh, my goodness. And late in the game, SGA, your guy, showed why he was an MVP finalist with two clutch buckets in the final, like, 65 seconds, including the go-ahead with 32 seconds left. Thunder get the win. Chet Holmgren, nice debut. Big block late in that game. Man, it was awesome. Listen, you know I love the NBA. I'm still a bit of a doubter on OKC, but I was impressed last night with this win. SGA was not great. Had some turnovers on the fourth, but then when it mattered, he was clutch.
Yeah, I think, you know, very rarely do you overlook a really good NBA player because it's a star-driven league. But because of Wemby, nobody pays attention to Chet Holmgren because they kind of have somewhat similar games. Chet Holmgren's out of Gonzaga become a great player, like a really, really high-end player. He got banged up his first year. Bigs can. We kind of forget about him. Here comes the Wemby hype train. Wemby delivers. Who's going to win more games next 5 years? OKC stock with draft picks, already have an MVP-level star. Chet Holmgren's going to win more games.
Win more games or playoff series? That's all I care about. He's going to have all the
Well, I mean, San Antonio's probably not a playoff team next year.
I need to see what they do in the offseason. They've got to act now.
Next 5 years, Holmgren or Wemby, more playoff wins.
Hey, you know who's making a call? What's an NBA commissioner's name? Adam Silver is probably making a call right now. Hey, Spurs. LeBron and Curry look like they're done in the league. We need Wembanyama in the playoffs. I mean, seriously, you got to have Wemby in here. But as for OKC, Colin, I know we like to get in the weeds on the NFL. I did like what I saw. They subbed off the kid Giddey and brought in a defensive specialist who just locked up. And they had two defenders. Like, I like the strategy from OKC. We'll see how far they can go. Is this a Western Conference Finals team this year? I didn't think
feel way too young, so I don't think so. But it's, again, you and I love their future. We just don't think the future's now, but they're really good. I mean, they have two stars and a smart GM and a bunch of draft picks. So it's like what you're seeing here is not a mirage. Like, this is, they've got good players.
There's some staying power here. Next up, back to the NFL draft. Drake May, who's been just a heated topic on this show, expected to be one of the top picks in the draft. He could go high as number two, and his head coach at North Carolina, Mack Brown, spoke so glowingly about Drake May.
His mom and dad would let me. I'd adopt him. He is a great person. He's competitive. He's grown up in an athletic family. He's the youngest of four, so he's been beaten up. He had to fight to get a chicken leg at the table. So he's so competitive in everything he does. He's smart. He's got pride. What he's got is the upside is unbelievable because he can improve so much every year. And I don't think there's any question. You got to get with the right team. You got to have the right coaches. But he's a guy that can win a Super Bowl at quarterback.
You know what's interesting? So we got five first-round quarterbacks. So we got Caleb and Jaden and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Penix. What is that, six? One of them is going to be a bust. I mean, that's not even a question. Two probably will be. So one will be a star. Two others will be serviceable and may get an extension. And then three of those guys aren't going to work. One immediately and two probably don't get an extension. He's the one I struggle with. Because when I watch Drake May, I've heard this whole thing about having brothers and be competitive. It's a huge trait. It's a great trait to have. He's also looks like Justin Herbert. But then you watch his inconsistency, you watch even his pro day, and you're like, man, the ACC was a horrible conference, and he didn't light it up. Lamar lit it up. Trevor Lawrence lit it up. So he's a tough call for me. Every time I hear these stories about him, they're true, and they are great. This whole thing about him getting youngest of four boys, that is a great quality. You know, it's a genetic break. Your parents had a lot of kids. You're the youngest. You're going to get beat up by the boys. You're going to be a tough guy.
You know, with some of these quarterbacks, you really got to read a lot. And I think it was Burrow, but there's been a bunch of them. If your dad was like a coach, think about the dinner table. You know, like I come home, my kids come home from school, we're at dinner, we're talking about like some sports, but a lot of other stuff, life, world, whatever. When your dad is a coach and you're like a quarterback, all you're talking about at the dinner table is X's and O's, offense.
Right.
And like Joe Burrow's whole family is athletes, big time, high level athletes. Dad was a quarterback. I think Drake May's the same situation where he's just been all around football, really knows the sport, knows it well. And I think people are missing on him. I don't want to say he's going to be a slam dunk, but I'm extremely bullish on Drake May here heading into the draft and his career. I'll be having
How about we say this? Ticket. Whoever goes to New England because of their lack of talent has the hardest hill to climb.
By far. I think Washington's going to be fine.
So do I. I think Washington's fine.
But when did we start getting off Drake May at two? When did we move off that?
Well, I started moving off it when sources that I trust in the league told me that Cliff Kingsbury works really well with Jaden Daniels prototypes. And then I had other people say things like, Jaden Daniels in a great conference where he didn't have the best talent, put up historically good numbers in the SEC, and Drake May was consistent in the ACC, which is a bad conference. So I just, over time, people telling me things, and you start inspecting it, and then all of a sudden, I think to myself, well, Drake May falls to three. Nobody can succeed in New England. They're just not, they're not built to, Lamar Jackson would have struggled in New England as a rookie. You can't win with this lack of talent.
So the Kingsbury thing's interesting. Tell me, how many times have we thought about a quarterback drafted top five? We said, he's a great fit with that OC. OCs move on all the time. I don't think you draft saying this is best for our offensive coordinator. Let's be honest. Kingsbury could be out of there in 2 or 3 years. Maybe he's a head coach somewhere. Maybe he gets ousted.
But it does help that you could have a good start and a good fit early.
Yeah, but like last year, I don't think the Texans said, we got to have C.J. Stroud. He fits with Bobby Slowick.
No, that's like, true. It's true. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think you got to pick the quarterback with the better traits and the more upside. Now, that is beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Final story is the Birmingham Stallions kept their undefeated season alive. Had a close one against the D.C. Defenders Saturday. Down by one with a minute left. Matt Corral, remember him?
Yep.
Ole Miss star led his team down the field to set up a game-winning 46-yarder and sealed a 20-18 win. Stallions, obviously one of the better teams in the league.
Have they won the last time they lost?
Two titles, yeah.
They don't lose much.
By the way, Matt Corral, man, I thought he had a shot in the NFL, and maybe he's showing out here.
Well, he's probably the most talented quarterback in the UFL. I mean, I don't have every quarterback in front of me, but his last year at Ole Miss was fantastic. He put up huge numbers.
He had an ankle injury in the bowl game.
And he's a little small. He's not kind of a tower. I saw him play in a high school camp, and he has a strong arm for somebody his size. Real kind of confident, cocky kid, good arm. He was great in college in the SEC. He put up huge numbers.
Yeah, and he was, I think, like a third-round pick, something like that, and just didn't pan out in the NFL.
I honestly think when I watch this league, because I'll bounce around on the weekend and see it, this league is what the NFL, if the NFL wants to get out of quarterback busts, it's bad for the league. You draft high, have a bust. This is the developmental league, not college football. The developmental league for quarterbacks should be the UFL. I would strike a deal if I was Goodell with the UFL and say that teams can carry quarterbacks from the UFL. It's not on your payroll. The NFL, the league will somehow pay for it, but you can carry a third quarterback and he can play in this league. And there's some contractual stipulation where, I mean, because you don't need him, it's the offseason. But to me, this is a... The quality of offensive football is pretty good in this league.
Yeah, the college coaches have no incentive to set quarterbacks up for the NFL. I got to win games, keep my job.
That's right.
Keep the money flowing. But you're right. This league could set up as a G League type deal in the NBA.
A higher-end G League that's televised, where NFL teams would not be punished for keeping a guy. You could have the right. If all these teams in the UFL kept like a third quarterback and the league NFL paid for it, the NFL says, we'll pay for the third quarterbacks. They're under contract with NFL teams. I don't know how it would work, but if you want to avoid, you try to find weaknesses as a league. The NFL's weakness is the preseason's awful. Yeah. It's awful. Get rid of it. Second thing is, the quarterback play when you go to backups is not good. How do you get these guys more real games?
Don't
the UFL.
Some teams would prefer not having to call up Joe Flacco, who's on his sofa in the suburbs with his kids, and have a guy ready-made, knows the system, who had been with like the underleague, and is ready to come in and help out. Like, I think that makes a lot of sense.
J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So I'm watching Dallas. They had 30 points at half. It was just awful. And I think Dallas is eventually going to get it right, and this is going to go 6 or 7 games against the Clippers. But the regular season, as I said earlier, is so uninspiring, load management, teams tanking, that if you go on the road for a playoff basketball game and aren't ready to compete, this is what it looks like. Awful. So Phoenix not ready to compete on the road. Dallas not ready to compete on the road. And I think this is the reality of the NBA, whereas in hockey, as a hockey player, when you have your line and you go on the ice, you have to be ready to play. College football, NFL, you got to be ready to play. In baseball, guys are ready to play because no pitcher or batter wants to get embarrassed. Those are real ABs. Doesn't matter if you're in the race or out of the race, there's bonuses tied to them. But in the NBA regular season, the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, on their social media team, literally put it in their site. Hey, the season nobody cares about's over. Now it's the playoffs. And that's an NBA team. So I think Phoenix, Dallas, and Philly, you got to be very careful. They went 0-3 this weekend. And who are the hot teams at the end of the regular season? Philly, Dallas, and Phoenix. And we kept hammering on this. Late season NBA winning streaks, shame on me, don't pay attention to them. You're beating tanking teams and good teams resting starters. So my hunch is Dallas, of all the teams that got worked, I think Dallas is going to be fine. I do think Dallas is going to be fine. But Paul George, James Harden, Westbrook, Kawhi is going to play games. Not easy. Here was Kyrie from the losing Mavs on the message he got from game one.
But it really centered around the foundational point of talking about physicality and this being the playoffs. A lot of guys aren't used to being here. A few young guys aren't used to being here, so they don't know what they can get away with and what the refs are going to call. So I think this was a great first test for us, and we obviously failed, and we came out with a loss. But I think there are some things we can take into game two as strengths that we can continue to push forward and utilize.
My guess is Dallas, you know, we have this rule, J-Mac, on this show. Teams that are humiliated but talented almost always come back. So Dallas will win. I don't know if Phoenix will win game two, and I don't know if Philly will. Dallas will win game two against the Clippers. That was when you have 30 at half with Luka and Kyrie, but their third best player is P.J. Washington. So they're a lopsided roster, whereas the Clippers have limitations, but they're not lopsided. Westbrook can score, Harden, Mann, Kawhi, Paul George, Zubac. They have six guys that can score. Yeah. This is basically a two-headed monster. P.J. Washington's your third best player. But when you have a mediocre pair of stars defensively, and Luka's been average defensively, better this year, Kyrie's bad, you have to create a roster which protects your stars. So Dallas has dudes on this roster that can't shoot. Right. I mean, they're just, it's a lopsided roster with two magnificent offensive stars and then guys that just fill space and can't score.
I think you're right. I think Dallas bounces back. I'll say this. We talked about the Embiid situation. Let's say Dallas goes down 0-2. Then you've got to start to seriously wonder, like, all right, Kyrie's been a good soldier for a long time. 0-2, looking at another early playoff exit. Where's Kyrie Irving playing next season? Is he going to be like, yeah, I had a good run. Get me out of here. I don't know what's going to
Mark Cuban.
Luka will have had Porzingis, Brunson, and Kyrie. And if none of them worked, well, Brunson worked, but they screwed it up. Some stuff's going to happen in these playoffs. It's going to massively impact this offseason, Colin. I like the Luka-Kyrie combo. They better not lose game two. Can't go down 0-2. Because when's Kawhi coming back? Do we know? He hasn't had contact yet in any practices. He comes back in the series, it's
trouble.
Mavs better not lose this. Not just for my bank account, but yeah. You know, for Luka and Kyrie's future in Dallas.
There's always that point. Live in LA, it's The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Tonight on FS1, it's an AL Central showdown as the White Sox take on the Twins. It all begins tonight at 7 Eastern on FS1.
All right, so Diana Rossini is reporting the Patriots now, GM Elliott Wolf, and the president, Jonathan Kraft, are heavily involved in the decision-making. The Patriots are taking calls with the number three spot to move down. I don't think it's a terrible decision. They're not a quarterback away. They're a roster away. I don't even know if Mahomes could win seven games with this roster. Take Carolina as an example. Let's draft a young quarterback and give him no help. It was a disaster. New England's roster is equally bad. Thanks to Belichick basically taking over the draft 7 years ago, they just haven't hit on any offensive players. So if New England moves down, obviously the Patriots can load up on a roster. But it's just, you're not, I mean, the Bears and the Commanders with a Caleb and a Jaden Daniels or Drake May could be very competitive and very compelling. Patriots don't have a number one receiver, arguably don't have a two, don't have a number one tight end. The O-line is average. You have a rookie defensive coach in a division with Tua, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers. That is last place. That's got five wins all over it. So my takeaway is whoever you get next year in the draft, be it a free agent or a college quarterback, has a much greater chance to succeed than who, even if this quarterback is more talented, you could get a slightly less talented quarterback next year, and he could succeed because he has a real roster. So the winner here, New England, would like to move down. So now, then it gets really interesting, because I believe the Giants, this is my take, is that Brian Daboll looks at Drake May and sees a little bit of Josh Allen. He doesn't see that with J.J. McCarthy. But when you're looking at Drake May's 6'4.5", 225. He's got a big arm. He needs refinement. He needs to be sandpapered. Well, that's Josh Allen. So I could see, if this is true, that the Patriots now are taking calls and want to move down, I'm the New York Giants. Now, the Giants could be, now if I'm the New York Giants, I'm like, well, we need players. Okay, I'm not going to get the fourth best quarterback in this draft, J.J. McCarthy. But I'd move up to get, maybe the Giants see Drake May as the second most talented quarterback. That's different, because Caleb's number one. And then Drake May and Jaden, there's an argument, you can have whoever you like as two. I think the Giants would move up for a two. They're not going to move up for the fourth. They're not going to, you know, bump up and say, Arizona, you move down a slot to get a quarterback. But I could see Brian Daboll. This is why I think Washington's drafting Jaden Daniels, because he's had several quarterbacks in college and the pros like Jaden Daniels and has succeeded with them. Of any of these quarterbacks in the draft, the one guy that's got a little bit of Josh Allen, big, moves well, nice arm, but kind of inconsistent in an average conference, well, that's Josh Allen. Now, I think Josh is more talented than Drake May, but I could see Brian Daboll saying, okay, I'll move up for him. I'm not moving up for J.J. McCarthy, because I was told the Giants, I was told this 2 weeks ago, by somebody around the Giants. It was a very circumstantial draft. They were just going to let it play out. They were kind of let it play out. We're not going to go. But that was with the understanding the first three teams were taking quarterbacks. So the circumstances now potentially change. So put up that draft board again, J-Mac. Which team do you think will move into that number three spot? So Chargers don't need it, and neither does Arizona. Okay, so to me, Titans are going to give Will Levis a shot. It won't be Atlanta or Chicago or the Jets.
Well, who's Washington taking it to? Because I'm not trading up for Jaden Daniels, and I'm not trading up for J.J. McCarthy. I would trade up for Drake May. So if Washington goes Jaden, then yeah, I think the Patriots have something to work with there. Probably that.
Now, but the Giants can't sit around and wait. Like I'm saying right now, if this is true, you can't sit around if you're the Giants today. If you read this, I think this is New England letting it out. Diana, get it out there. And it's telling the Giants, we're not waiting around. You want him now. Because if I'm the Giants, if I sit around and go, we'll see. Well, then somebody else moves up to three, and
who else is jumping up? Who else is giving up?
What I'm saying is, there are teams here. I mean, I think we all know Minnesota has two first-round picks. The Giants don't. So Minnesota at 11 would move up. I see that. So if you're the Giants, you can pretend that Daniel Jones works without Saquon Barkley. You can pretend that, and then the adults in the room know it won't. So the Giants are sitting there looking, going, okay, Minnesota's got two firsts. We don't. We better be damn aggressive. The Raiders and the Broncos could move up. I don't think they will because I think Denver wants Bo Nix. But let's say you run the New York Giants. Giants GM.
Let me run the Jets.
Okay, you're the Giants GM. You read this story. What is the first thing you do? And you're not sold on Daniel Jones. The owner, by the way, has come out and say, well, if the guys love a quarterback, they can get him.
So let's work in reverse. Daboll and the GM were both in Buffalo. They loved Josh Allen. He fit everything they wanted to do. It was a home run.
And Washington takes Jaden Daniels.
So if Daboll and the GM say, Drake May is our Josh Allen. He is exactly what I want. He's the prototype. Let's go get him. Then you go get him, right? It's that easy. It really depends on how these guys rank and value the quarterbacks. Like, do they love Drake May the way I do? I like Drake May a lot. I think way too many people are overreacting to, I'm not putting you in this bucket, but just like silly season. Drake May was number two behind Caleb for over a year, Colin. And now, as we get close to the draft, suddenly it's Jaden Daniels as the guy? What have we seen? What's changed? I don't know. I'm just not buying it.
Yeah, sorry. Well, this is getting leaked because somebody wants it leaked.
Right.
New England wants to move the pick. They would not leak this if they wanted to stay put.
But are they leaking it because nobody's calling them? And they have nobody.
What they're doing is we're going to create the inertia. Okay, we're going to move this pick. We're not waiting for you to call us with 8 minutes left. So we're going to put it out there and give us time, give us a tarmac to create multiple teams. That the teams that need quarterbacks are all right now talking about this story.
So if I'm Minnesota, I'm not overpaying now. Why would you overpay now
for
when
Drake
New England's
May?
On the clock with nine minutes left?
So by the way, Minnesota's a great example. So Minnesota is the team that we acknowledge. That's a furnished apartment. You don't even have to start. You can sit behind Darnold, left tackle, elite, two receiver, star tight end, star back, star left. Great coach. You don't even have to start. Minnesota's the best landing spot for any of these quarterbacks. So Minnesota's sitting there at 11 with two first-round picks. Minnesota may have thought, listen, if the Bears, Commanders, and Patriots are taking a quarterback, we're not going to give up two firsts for J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
But now Minnesota's thinking, oh, I get the third quarterback. We love Drake May, and our intel tells us the Commanders are taking Jaden. That's a different discussion because you and I both acknowledge the bigger guy is Drake May. The higher ceiling is Drake May. Drake May has had advantages that J.J. McCarthy's been protected in college. In high school, he played for a powerhouse. In college, he played for a powerhouse. Drake May's gotten the you-know-what kicked out of him at home with his brothers and in college football. That's historically a huge advantage going into the NFL. Okay.
So let me ask, who has more upside for you?
By the way, Josh McCown, the Vikings quarterback coach, was Drake May's high school coach. Minnesota's quarterback coach was Drake May's high school coach. So I think Minnesota's looking at that three spot and thinking, we don't want to move up for the four. But I'll move up for Drake May, who we have as the two.
Yeah.
That's a different, I think the Giants and the Vikings, if Jaden, and I'm telling you, a lot of people think Washington is taking Jaden because of Cliff's history with mobile running quarterbacks.
So if you're the Vikings, and you know this, you're house shopping, Colin. Okay, they're offering this. I'm going to come in here. Are we bidding against anyone else? Does anyone else want this
house? I think
house?
The Giants in Minnesota are the two bidders.
So the Patriots, if they can get a bidding war going, then yes, things are great. But what do the Giants have to offer? Minnesota's got two ones now. Giants would have to give up a one now and a one next year? I think you got to take the Vikings deal.
Well, if you don't have a quarterback, you do what you got to do.
Vikings don't have much of a roster. Giants don't have much of a roster.
I think the winner in this story is New England.
Maybe.
They're going to rebuild their roster. The second winner is the Vikings. They now are potentially in the Derby, the Minnesota Vikings, for who they perceive as the second best quarterback in the draft, instead of the Chargers, where they would have to move up for probably the fourth most talented guy. That's a completely different argument.
Oh, by the way, Patriots, you want to be the one who passed on Drake May when he's doing Justin Herbert things in a couple of years?
We do have a history in this draft with punishing college quarterbacks who are gifted but a little unfinished. Mahomes didn't win in college. Josh Allen didn't win a lot in college. They weren't finished products. We tend to like, oh, he has great stats, Jaden and Caleb. Drake May is an unfinished, talented prospect. Mahomes was. Josh Allen was. And they fall. And they fall. We it's much easier to go, well, Jaden Daniels had 40 touchdowns and 10 runs. He's totally, well, it's LSU.
Yeah.
So I'm saying is we have a history in this league. Jordan Love. Jordan Love was unpolished. Green Bay is like, we're going to sit him for 3 years. So think about those quarterbacks in this league that were unbelievably gifted, but raw and mistake-prone. Drake May, Jordan Love, Mahomes, and Josh Allen.
So you're coming around on Drake May now.
No, what I'm saying is there is a, and I think Minnesota says, well, our quarterback coach coached him in high school. He's like, the guy's a beast. He just doesn't have, the experience.
So with one of the first times I went to the combine back when I had the website, somebody smart told me, it's not what you are, it's what you can be.
That's right.
I don't care that Jaden Daniels put up massive numbers. And you did have the info last week about quarterbacks with the big stats versus quarterbacks with no college stats. I get that. But it's what you can be. And I think Drake May has better traits, size.
Yeah.
He would be my pick.
There is a history right now in the league. Lamar Jackson came out of college a little raw. Jordan Love a little raw. Mahomes a little raw. Josh Allen a little raw. Drake May a little raw. It's harder to get unity in the draft room when he had a really bad year. So we got a history about five of the best quarterbacks in this league. It was a little choppy there last year in college.
Brock Purdy, little raw.
How about a little? Brock Purdy, little.
Hater.
All right, hour three on a Monday. Live in L.A. coming up next.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.